the most like under a hole type person as well. So
under a hole, that's impressive.
Or in whatever, you know what I mean.
That's how we're gonna start it right there.
Under a rock. Yeah, there you go. Under a hole. Yeah, that's a new term. What coin is that? Oh,
well, did you see that China is raising their birth?
I did see that actually. I thought that was weird. I'm just like, that's an odd thing to have like breakout news on, because you're allowed to have more kids now. But then again, well, like, it's just a different country and everything, so it's different than what we're used to.
Well, yeah, they had that like one child policy and
for like forever.
Yeah, and there was a uptick in like orphaned girls, because girls can't carry on last name, and that's like the whole thing in China. It's like, I need a man to, or a male to carry the family name. And but now they're talking about, and Caleb, can you double check this? Like, they're talking in, I thought they said 10 years or so, that like if they don't have an increase in their birth rate, they're going to have like, I'm probably way off here, but like 2 million or so like jobs that just won't be replaced.
That's nuts.
Yeah, because the birth rate's fallen so low. How far off was that, Caleb? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, given the fact that like over there, it's very like, well, I have to be careful while I say it, but I'm like, from what I know, and it's, again, what I know is very limited. But from what I know, I'm pretty sure it's like they're very, I guess, gender norm jobs for the most part. Like, it kind of is like that here too, but like, I think for them, it's to the more extreme. But I guess based on very limited knowledge on what I know. So,
yeah, I would say that it's a lot more like assembly, manufacturing, that kind of stuff, where like one person's doing one step in the process. And like, with them doing a lot of the manufacturing from around the world, because it is so much cheaper to do and to import it, that if those jobs aren't filled, because there's so much work that they like bring in, that it's going to slow down production, and it's probably going to drive up price, to be honest. So
probably
we'll see. Yeah. Do you find it, Caleb? Yeah, I understand like the whole like supply chain aspect of it, but what they do over there between limiting how many kids people can have, and like they have a whole group that they like segregate from the country, and then they attacked, was it John Cena that they attacked for calling Taiwan a country or something, because they don't recognize it as a country? All kinds of nonsense.
Wait, it's not? I have no idea. I didn't know that was not a country. Is it a country?
I don't know.
I
thought it was too, but like apparently China was mad at John Cena for calling it a country. And he had to like apologize.
I guess it's like a province, I guess. I don't know. It's weird.
I have no idea.
That shows how little American.
It's an island. It's an island out there.
Fair enough. All right. Well, whatever it is. Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, so that reminds me of talking about China. I don't know how that related to China, but like during like current news, but like, did you see the fight with like Mayweather and Logan Paul?
You know,
or at least heard about it.
I heard about it. There was no way I was paying for it.
No. I just found it really funny. I'm just like, a YouTuber somehow managed to get all that going. I'm just like, that's stupid. Because it's like
a YouTuber that came out wearing a Charizard Pokemon card around his neck in like a diamond encrusted case. Like, good for him. Like, making a big enough name for himself to go get paid, and Floyd for going to get paid. Like, my hat's off to them for that reason. But as far as it being like a fight, as somebody that like watches combat sports, like, that's not going to be anything I'm not interested in the fighting of it. I'm interested in the business aspect of it.
See, I found it hilarious. I was more paying attention to like the social media aspect. There's like two sides to it. How like Logan Paul was like either like the greatest businessman ever for like setting that up and somehow managing to make that work. And like also how like, and there's also the other side, like how Mayweather is like tarnishing the sport of like combat sport, because Like if you look at how like boxers make money, they don't make anywhere near the amount of money that Floyd made on that fight. Because
oh yeah,
because like I think that was, most of that was just like self sponsored. Like it wasn't like the company like UFC or whatever boxing organization was paying for the fight. It was just strictly
WBO, I think is what it is, World Boxing Probably. Organization.
I don't know.
Whatever. Yeah, so it wasn't affiliated with like with
any of them
professional boxing at all. It was yeah. all part of his money team or whatever yeah.
TNT marketing team
productions yeah. and I don't know if Jake's his, I know he's big with Triller. I don't know if that had any part of it or was any part of it. I know they're in trouble right now, but yeah, that they put that on, they built all the hype around it, and a lot of it is hilarious, but it drew eyes.
Yeah,
like the whole got your hat thing.
Yeah, that was, I mean, they're just good at sparking controversy and drama and then thriving off of that. Like I don't want that kind of attention, but like if I can make money off it, screw it. Like if I'm making $1 million and just being dumb, sure, why not? Yeah. Like I don't care. Like it's stupid.
Would they say that Floyd made like $100 million for that fight or something? Something crazy.
I don't know. It's probably a dumb number, but I'm just like, whatever the number is, like Floyd already got a ton of money. So like I'm not really that surprised he made a lot of money, but I was just like honestly, like at that point, like if you have that much money, why bother? Why bother? Like the last fight he made with what's his face?
Connor?
No, well the one before that one.
Pacquiao?
Yeah, like that one, like he made a ton of money off of that fight. Yeah. And it wasn't even that it wasn't even a quality fight. Like I saw like highlights of it, and I'm just like, that wasn't even that good of a fight. But he made a ton of money off it, but that was at least a legit fight, I think. I don't actually remember if it was.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. But like that was the last legit fight he made. He still made a ton of money off it. So I'm like, if you make that much money, like why bother going to the exhibition when you already have a ton of money? Like at that point it's just like, why bother? It's like,
dude,
like, you're just tarnishing the sport that you spent all this energy for an exhibition match that doesn't even matter to your record, and
right,
you're fighting it's a just YouTuber money. So it's ugh.
I read something that like his average spend for a year is like $75 million.
Floyd?
So, yeah, so like
that makes sense. If you have terrible spending habits that way, then yeah, that makes sense.
He was like the first professional athlete to make $1 billion off of his sport, and that what they compared like the 24 minutes that he was in that fight to all of Michael Jordan's career. Like Michael Jordan's whole career, he made like $90 million, and then Floyd made like 124 minutes.
That's stupid.
That's insane to think about. Yeah. One of the greatest basketball players of all time in his entire career versus this joke of a YouTube box.
Well, that's like, true. But I also think like most of what Jordan made is off his shoes and like sponsorships. So I don't think that's included in that number. So like, I don't think they included that. But like, I think it's just whatever he made while he was playing. So
yeah,
which is still ridiculous. Like it's still a ridiculous number, but it's just like, shoot, like I would love to make like 5% of whatever that number is. I'll take it. Give it to me for free. That'd be great.
Yeah.
But I guess that's enough of a sidetrack, and let's go into the episode. Bring that back.
Like the mainland. Okay.
Okay.
Best so,
confusing as ever, but okay.
So Taiwan's like not a thing, is what you're saying. Okay, yeah.
Good, I remember, to know.
All I know is John Cena messed up. That's so wild that like a country's going to get mad at a WWE wrestler because he said Taiwan's a country.
If it's an international movie, that'll be pretty bad. So that'll make sense.
Well, yeah, and China's like their market that... The amount of money that they make in China from movies is like double of what it is here. So,
yeah,
if that movie wants to succeed, it's got to do good in China.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. All right, so let's go ahead and get started. Let's get started with this episode. So, apologize, but we aren't apologizing. But for this episode, we wanted to talk about different types of dodgeball. Like, I know we've talked about all the different like competitive forms of dodgeball, but now we're going to talk about different like, I guess, surfaces is the best way to explain it. Like, what different ground types you can play dodgeball on. So, like, whether it's sand dodgeball, whether you play on turf, whether you play on basketball court, whether you play on like a rubberized floor, like different playing surfaces, like tennis courts, like all those different playing surfaces, like what they can do to your body, how to train for it, pros and cons, like that whole spiel. We're gonna try to break it down for you guys today.
Yeah. Well, I guess we can just start with basketball courts, because that's I would say primarily, especially with USA Dodgeball. Mm-hmm. All of those premier rounds are usually on basketball courts. And one of the big advantages with basketball courts is we kind of touched on it when, what did we talk about last episode? I don't even remember. Oh, the prep for a tournament. Yep. We kind of talked about how it's a little bit more cushioned. It's a little more bouncy, and you can jump a little higher, take off a little bit faster, and all of that is something that you need to make sure you have your joints ready for, first of all. And you need to make sure you know what the surface is going to do. So when you try to move laterally, when you try to take off, like, you need to know where your body's going to be and how quickly it's going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I know with the basketball courts, like, there's a lot of, basketball court, honestly, in my opinion, have probably the best grip in terms of the shoes that most dodgeball players wear, because at least in America, most players are wearing basketball shoes of some form, or volleyball shoes, or even indoor tennis shoes. So typically basketball courts usually have the best grip for that, as well as the shock absorption. Like, when you go on wood floors, like, it may not feel like it. Like, even if you like jump up and down, you may not like feel the floor give, but there is a certain amount of give for explosive movement. So there is that cushioning effect to it. So it allows for players to get, I guess, the maximum amount of, I'm trying to think of the word I'm going for here, is, I guess, bounce. Maximum. Yeah, I guess bounce is there, but like also like in terms of like pliability of the body, like, lowest shock, shock, not absorption, but I guess the lowest amount of shock to the body. It allows for your body to take in the load and transfer it, as well as assisting that movement in that explosive movement. So if you're going for a jump, it'll help assist in the jump. If you're going for lateral movements, it'll be easier on the joints. Nice thing is you can also slide as well, depending on how dusty the floor is. Like, if the floor is not too dusty, you're gonna be able to slide a good amount. And if the floor is clean, you'll get a better amount of grip. So if you get like that proper like ratio dust to like clean floor, like, it's like the perfect court to play on, because you can still slide, you can still get that good grip, so you're not worried about slipping or just losing your grip in your losing your shoe grip in the middle of your throw. So you get pretty much, like, I honestly think basketball court is probably the best floor to play on. There's maybe one other surface I can think of that's played better, but I'll break it down later if I can remember what it is.
The other thing is, like, with, especially with Premier League, when, and this doesn't really apply to NCAA as much, but in Premier League, when a lot of people are dropping to their knees to catch, you know, that falling right onto that joint is not ideal. But when you have the floor start to kind of take some of that away from you and cushion you on that drop, it gives you a little bit more longevity in that. So I know a lot of people wear knee pads. So doubling up on that cushion is going to help you out. It's going to allow that joint to not take a lot of that force from dropping. Mm-hmm. And it won't really impinge the rest of your game.
Yeah. When I say, in terms of like downsides, there's really not much of a downside to the flooring of a basketball court. I mean, like I said before, like, dust is really like the only downside I can think of, because that one has to be kind of like regularly swept. If it gets really dusty in the basketball floor, that is just super slippery. So then, like, sure, your sliding definitely gets a lot better, but in terms of like grip, in terms of like your shoes
cutting and your agility movements,
yeah, you'll have to kind of be more aware of what you're doing. So you may, like, instead of getting a full windup, you may have to like take a smaller step into that throw so that way you don't have to worry about slipping. Or same thing with when you're backpedaling or trying to cutting, like you said, if you're trying to make a quick movement and your body may be ready for it, but you're not ready for like that slipping aspect of the dust, you're going to be more at risk getting hurt, especially if there's sweat, because definitely seen some sweaty guys take out multiple people just from sliding out. I'm talking to some of my older teammates, because Megan was one of the worst people at this, where he would just slide across the floor and just like trail just sweat. And you would have to like be careful where you step, because next thing you're just on the floor with them. He's like, oh, gross. So yeah, so it's a rough time. You got the basketball court. So some other platforms, you don't have to worry about sweat, but I would definitely say basketball court is probably the one where you have to really worry about like what could be on the floor at any given moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really see a downside in a basketball court. And I think that's, I don't know, actually, I can't accurately say if it's in the Premier League like rules that it has to be on.
No, basketball court. No,
I'm the worst when it comes to the rule book. I'm supposed to know it, but I don't.
I mean, I think when they like look for venues, they almost always look for basketball courts, because one, it's cheaper than trying to find like a different surface. Two, most, I would say like 99% of dodgeball players have always played on a basketball court. So it'd be really hard to try to find something else that's not on a basketball court. As well as I think it's like you could get more court. Like when you go to most facilities, they usually have more than one basketball court. It's very hard to find a facility that has enough space, that has a different floor type, with the exception of like turf, but like turf that has a whole other like set of issues with it. So that's another line we'll go down later. But like with the exception of turf, it's really hard to find space that's not a basketball court.
Yeah. And I know the NCAA always is in basketball courts. The only time I ever remember playing in the NCAA that wasn't on a basketball court was Nationals at Western Kentucky. They had this, like, well, I guess, hey, Caleb, what is, you've played at Michigan State a lot in MDC. They have those off gyms in IM West. Those are kind of, aren't those kind of that plasticky kind of floor? Yeah, so I guess that one in at MSU and then at WKU, it was like spongy tar. It wasn't like a track, but it was like, it was almost like,
I call it like rubbery almost. Like it's like,
well, it was like cement, but it wasn't. It was weird. I don't know. Let's talk with Felix about it, because he was the one that put that on Nationals on, and it was spongy, but it looked like a tennis court. Like it had like the same look as a tennis court.
That's a new one for me. Like I know I've definitely played on indoor tracks, on dodgeball and indoor track. That was probably one of the worst surfaces you could ever play on.
Yeah, because that sounds horrible.
You would fall or just like go on the ground at any point. You're just like no skin. Like there's nothing there at that point. So that was probably the worst surface I've ever played on, because like, I mean, it was for a college and it was for like a frat like charity
fundraiser tournament type deal.
Pretty much. So like no one's like going all that hard, except if you play dodgeball, then you're definitely going all out. But I completely forgot we were on the track, so I just like slid, and it was the worst slide of my life. I didn't go anywhere, and it was just hands were just like, you have no skin on the palms now. So that's gonna be great trying to throw with. So that was,
and catch.
Yeah, no, catching was not an option that day. I was just like, no, thank you. But yeah. I mean, I think that covers mostly everything for basketball, because like for the most part, like everyone's played on basketball courts, so for everyone knows what to do on it. So in terms of like training for it, pretty much everything we've talked about in our episodes will translate to basketball just fine, unless you have anything else to add.
No, I'm good on basketball courts. I want to go to that one that's like plasticky, but it's like, it's almost like the cutouts like you see on like gym flooring where they like interlock. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm thinking the foam versions for like kids, but no.
Well, yeah. So it's like that same style, but it's on like mm-hmm. basketball courts, and it's like that plasticky kind of feel.
I might know what you're talking about. Like, I think they used something similar to that at the world stage, but there's a lot of issues with that because, well, depending on what material you're thinking of, like, I'm thinking, at least in my head, I haven't been to Worlds, so I don't know what material is made out of, but, like, I think it's almost like a rubbery, like, it's almost kind of like, it's not exactly squishy, like, you do get some, like, cushioning to it, but not, like, as much as the basketball floor does, but there is some, like, shock reduction on it, but it isn't, like, interlockable like you're saying it is. So I don't know what exactly that is. Like, it's almost like you do cement style, it would kind of get poured out and it gets dried as is. But it's, like, rubber almost.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Where did you play like that? Like, was it...
Well, that I haven't played on a surface like that. I know, like, some high school field houses will have that. And, like, I know my high school had that type of surface where it was, like... I don't know what material it is. Like, to me, I think it's like harder, denser rubber in my head, but at least that's what I'm thinking it is. But I know tournaments have been played on those, and it's not that far off from basketball court in terms of like cushioning. But the only difference is you can't slide on those. Like, you try to slide on your knee pads, you could stick in
dink and face plant.
Yeah. Or the worst, actually, honestly, like, I'd rather face plant with that because, like, the worst when you try to slide forward. And your knee pads stop, and you just skin your knee because your knee keeps going.
Oh,
like that's way worse. I've done that at least like 5 times, and it's not fun. So yeah.
Well, let's talk about turf because that's what Spooky Nook's on. Like yes. that's what mm-hmm. I have never personally played dodgeball on turf.
Mm-hmm. I have a couple times. So the things to really watch out when you're on turf is. The slipping aspect to it because I mean, actually, let me backtrack. The positives of turf is the cushioning aspect. It's way cushier than a
basketball floor,
basketball court. Depending on how thick that turf is, like you can literally let out of the floor and just get back up with no issues. Now, some turf it's a little bit thinner and you got that like cement underneath and you can feel that every time. So it depends on like the quality of the turf, but like most of the time you can land on turf as long as you're not like sliding on a bare skin, you're fine. Like you'll be okay. You'll get up, no issues. So you can do your dives, you can roll, tuck and roll, you can do all the stupid things and get up with minimal injury. And I would say turf has more downsides than it has upsides. Okay. One, in terms of like court setup, like you can't really put down tape because it's not gonna stick. So you have to put down cones so that the lines are very inconsistent sometimes. Another in terms of playing, slipping. That's a very big one, especially if you're trying to go into a full wind up for your throw and you take that big forward step. Usually what happens is when you put your heel down, because it's not one surface or like one solid like platform, it's little itty bitty beads in between grass. That heel
tires.
Yeah, let's say the heel sometimes will slide, so you end up taking a bigger step than you want, so it either throws off your aim, or you're more likely to like fall from that position. So slipping is a bigger issue, especially during throwing. But if you try to cut too hard, same thing. Now, the way to counteract, like in terms of like slipping with whether you're throwing or cutting, is wearing cleats. But the downside wearing cleats is it makes it harder to sidestep because if you're
wearing cleats.
Yeah. If you're wearing cleats and you sidestep and your foot's lower than you expected to, you're going to hit that floor and your body's going to keep going, but your foot's staying exactly where you want it. So there's a lot of upsides, a lot of downsides with turf, from what I played. Again, like if you're on the younger side and you tend to go a little bit wilder with your dodges, there's a lot of upsides to it. But in terms of you play more traditional, more orthodox, and you are trying to play your normal game style, it takes like a game or two to kind of adjust, and that adjusting period can be longer for some people, it can be a little bit shorter, because again, those little turf beads throw off every little movement is different on turf because it's the little things that add up into big things on turf because you're taking a slightly smaller step. So you have to adjust your throw. You have to adjust your dodging because you're not taking as big of a step or as powerful of a step side or backpedaling because the throw, the slipping aspect to it. So it does change your game. It may not feel like much out of in any specific small movement, but it builds up over a series of movements.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you've ever like not exactly played dodgeball, but have you ever seen those like turf shoes that aren't quite cleats, but they're like they almost look like molded golf shoes a little bit. You know what I'm talking about?
I maybe, but I don't think I've ever seen any shoes specifically for turf, though. Like, usually most players that I know just use whatever they use for grass, and it just automatically translates to turf.
Yeah, I know kids that used to use them in high school for, like, football games. Like, they would have specific shoes for turf fields, which we sucked at. We sucked at football. I don't know why people went all out like that just to spend money, I guess. But I don't know if that would make any kind of difference if they might grip a little bit better and allow for a little bit more side-to-side movement. I don't know if anybody at Spookinuck used them. If you did, let us know. That would be very helpful. I would say the one thing with all of these courts that aren't basketball is, especially if we're just getting back into dodgeball, is supporting your joints, making sure that you are strong through a full range of motion, that your joints are supported correctly, so that way if you slide a little bit extra, it's not catastrophic and a blown out knee or whatever the case may be. But making sure that your joints are strong all the way through a range of motion and having the mobility to maybe go from a 90 to, I don't know, an 80, and it doesn't affect your gameplay or you don't injure yourself. It's just the one thing that's really going to save you.
Yeah, especially if you're going to the Spookinuck tournament, depending on when this is released. Actually, probably the following week. Actually, yeah, I think the weekend after we release this one, the Spookinuck tournament will be that weekend. So
yeah,
if you're going to this, definitely make sure that, especially if you haven't been training, don't go all out. Like, we talked about this already. Don't go all out, but especially because we're on turf and most of you guys have either never played on turf or haven't played on turf in a while. Take a few games, so like use the round robin matches to kind of figure out how to play and then take it up a notch if you can. But again, don't just go 100% all out the first game, because one, you haven't been training. Two, you haven't been playing dodgeball in forever. Three, you're on a completely different surface that changes your game. So the game you may remember is not going to play as well on turf. So you just got to remember to change things up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Getting the feel back is going to be the hardest thing. We all know how to throw. We've been throwing dodgeballs for a long time. But picking up the subtle nuances of the game and getting those, I almost want to call them like micro habits back, is going to be what's going to be very difficult, because not only is everybody else trying to catch up, but if you start implementing those while people aren't at 100%, like, you have to be very fluid with those habits and you have to be able to adjust your game accordingly. And that is what is going to be an issue. I know that this weekend, it's probably going to start rough for me. And I guess this is being recorded before the tournament on the 12th, but released after it. So, So for those of you that have talked to me since the tournament, you know the struggle I had.
Exactly. Oh, man. But I think that covers everything for turf, in my head at least. I don't think in terms of like training for it, like, I think no, not much really changes. The other thing is, like, I guess taking it easy for, because like turf isn't like, it's not super far off from like basketball courts, but only difference is it's just less stable than a basketball court. So that's really the only thing you got to be more aware of. So it's just playing smarter, I guess, is really the only thing you got to be more aware of when it comes to turf.
Yeah, more body awareness is what it's going to come down to, and knowing where you at. Knowing your proprioception, big word, where your body's at in space. And I know I teased this to you guys earlier today, but I did talk to him today, and I'm hoping to meet with him. I don't want to drop too much information, but guy is that I think I'm going to work with, pretty high up in the sports performance world. He was ranked, I don't even know, but he was ranked top in the country a couple times, and worked with a couple of different professional sports teams. So the guy's 61 right now, and now he owns a studio gym that's like right down the road from where I work, which is crazy that it's that close. And he's a CMU alum, which is even cooler. So I talked to him today, and that's what I talked to him about, is working on developing something for the sport of dodgeball and focusing more on the protection of joints aspect and working more on mobility, because the strength stuff, I think we have down. And yeah. I think that knowing where our strengths and weaknesses are is is huge for us, and knowing where we can learn.
Yeah, but say I know exactly where my one specific weakness is, and that's nutrition. But I would love to know where the other holes in my knowledge are, and that would definitely be a game changer for not only us, but for you guys, for as listeners as well.
Yeah, and hopefully, I mean, I hope he still has some contacts in like the professional sports world, or just has a network. I mean, at that age, you know a lot of people within the industry that were coming up in the industry, whatever the case may be, that we can get a lot more eyes on dodgeball.
Yes, I must say, the more, the better, because then we at the sport can grow and transform, and I can't wait to see what it molds into.
Not to get too off topic there, but it was kind of fitting. Oh, yeah. And so I'm excited for that stuff to come. Hopefully down the road we can bring him on the podcast too, because he was super interested in what we had going on.
I'll say, if he could join our team, score. I mean, I don't see that happening, but on the off chance some miracle happens, that'd be awesome. But back to different surfaces. But, okay, so we covered turf, we covered basketball. I guess the only other one I really know of that's popular is sand. I know not only does, like, Texas play on sand, but
do they really?
I know there's, I don't think they do it regularly, but, like, there's, like, summer volleyball or summer dog. Actually, Texas is warm year-round, so they probably do year-round. But, like, I know they have sand tournaments.
It's warm compared to up here.
Yeah, it's well, I don't know. They had that one stupid storm where they were cold and it was for, like, 2 weeks. But
that's true.
Yeah, but normally 365 is warm year round or warmer year round. But yeah, I know they usually have, sometimes they'll have like sand tournaments. And I know in Europe, I want to say Germany, they have a sand tournament that's like a whole weekend. I know I saw an event page for it like a year or two ago, and that's wanted to go. And it's like apparently just like 3 days of drinking, and it sounds like a blast. And
sounds like dodgeball.
Yeah. So I wanted to go to that just strictly for that. But yeah, so I know there's like sand tournaments, not only just those two places, but all over the place, wherever it's warm. And that's something I actually found interesting, because I'm just like, I feel like there'd be like a lot more downsides than like upsides in terms of like dodgeball, like on sand, because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like practicing in sand would be really good, because I know a lot of professional athletes and a lot of, I'll just stick with professional athletes. They do a lot of sprinting, like agility work, running in sand, because you don't get any feedback from it. It takes your momentum. So it trains your body to be more fast twitch, to be more explosive. So training in the sand, I think, is super beneficial, but playing in the sand, I think would like cause for some slower dodgeball.
Yes. I would say, like, I feel like when you throw that ball, like, there's nothing stopping it. Like, it's just gone. Like, you can't really set up nets, because it'd be really hard to, like, hang up nets unless you had, like, giant poles, which would cost a ton of money. But also, I feel like when you're outside, like, any type of outdoor dodgeball, like, the wind becomes a factor, especially if, like, you're playing with a lighter ball. Like, 8.5, wind not going to make much of a difference. But, like, not you much, play, like, yeah. No Sting, it'll have a slight variance. But, like, foam, that curve is going to be gross. I mean, hey, calm down. All I have is foam to practice with. So I mean, I've always liked foam, but, like, I'm starting to appreciate it a little bit more. But, like I can't imagine throwing a knuckleball in the wind, and next thing you know, it just, like, disappears because this is gone. So, like, I can't. Yeah, that'll be disgusting to watch. But I kind of want to play that now that I think about it, just to see, like, how my throw can be, like, evolved through the wind. But, like, yeah, like, just the balls, chasing up the balls would be annoying. But yeah. I guess the sand would actually stop it, because instead of a floor, instead of just keep rolling away from you, the sand kind of just, like, kills all the momentum. So I guess that's a slight benefit, that the ball don't go anywhere. But they still have nothing to stop them. But
it would be hard to get any momentum, like, using your back foot to, like, push off of.
Yeah.
That sand would just give right out, and it'd just be all arm.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, it's the same thing. Like, I feel like that cancels out the downsides and the upsides of it, because, like, say, the downside of your throwing, you lose all your power, but at the same time, your opponent has no power to push off of that.
So. Can't move very quickly, yeah.
Exactly. I think, like, those kind of, like, negate each other, but at the same time, it's still trash. But, like, yeah, so, like, the instability of it, but I think there's less injury risk in terms of playing on sand, because there's no hard impact. So, like, if you fall, land, you're just landing on sand. You take a mouthful of sand. That's the worst thing that happens. So, like, the injury risk of it is very low. I mean, the only thing I can see is their possible injury risk is getting sand in your eye, or just using only your arm to throw, which is, like, terrible mechanics. So, like, that's the only, like, two potential, like, risks of injury I can really think of.
Yeah, it allows you, and I think going, you can kind of relate it to sand volleyball to gym volleyball, where it is slower. It's not coming as powerful. You have to really plan in advance for where you're going to go, because the change of direction isn't happening. So you have to almost have your dodgeball IQ a lot higher in sand to try to read teams better, try to play out more situations in your head to see, all right, if I'm getting crossed up, like, what can I do? Because if I have one guy that's going to be on my right side, one guy on my left side, do I have to bite the bullet, pick one out and catch it? Or am I just going to run straight at them and hope for the best? Like, there's not a lot you can do laterally.
Yeah, no, it's sand really does make you. I feel like sand would actually make you a better catcher, because you realize you can't move. So you're forced to kind of, like, go for those catches a little bit more. So I think that would be, like, the one upside is it forces you to realize, okay, maybe I won't be as athletic or as mobile as I normally am, so it's gonna make me focus on either being more efficient, because sand makes you tired. Like, sand will ruin your whole day. Like, yeah, it's just no matter how athletic you think you are, sand will kick your butt in 10 minutes. Like, no matter if you're walking or if you're just running or whatever it is you're doing, especially if it's, like, deep sand, you're screwed. Like, it's that soft powdery sand that'll just make every movement is way harder than it needs to be, but it will definitely test your endurance. So if you use, like, I don't know, like a social league sand tournament or a sand league, and you do, like, what, once a week, you'll notice that, like, your cardio and your endurance will start to get better, because that's going to really push you in really all aspects of your game.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I am 100% in on training in sand and practicing in sand. Like, if you have it available, recommend it.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, the gameplay in a tournament, I don't seeing it being as high level, but I do see where it is a change of pace. It is a different challenge, and I'd love to play in one just for the experience of it, but it's not going to be
I got to cramp my neck.
I see that. It's not going to be the showcase dodgeball that, you know, even this weekend isn't going to be, like, the showcase dodgeball, just because it's been forever.
But. Yeah, like, this, like, sand volleyball, like, it's primarily a social event or a charity event. It's not really like we're gonna have world volleyball on sand. Like, I could not right. see that happening. Like, I know certain sports have an on sand. Like, I know handball, like, they have a sand on tournament and it works pretty well. But again, that's just a completely different sport because, one, they don't have to chase down a billion balls. They only have to chase down one. Yeah. And the gameplay isn't really stopped when that ball goes out of bounds, because whether you throw it out of bounds or think about other sports, like, when the ball goes out of bounds, they just reset, the ball goes to the other team. For us, we have to completely wait for that ball to be in play for anything happen. But because the play clock keeps going, that one team is at a disadvantage. Any other sport with the ball goes out of bounds, no one's at a disadvantage because the play doesn't start till the ball gets back on the court. So right. it depends on, like, the rule sets, because I know, like, for example, like the world's team, if a ball goes out of bounds, the burden clock just keeps going. So, like, it's heavily dependent Yikes. On the shaggers to get the ball back on the court as fast as possible. So that team is at a disadvantage if the ball is, like, way off court. So that's, like, the one downside with, like, sand, is if you have a certain rule set that allows for that burden to keep going, that team is at a severe disadvantage. So unless you have, like, a ton of people helping out in terms of, like, shagging, then it could be run a lot smoother, but most likely you don't have that. So it'd be very, very hard to run through.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the only other surface I can think of would be, we covered basketball court, we covered turf, we covered sand, grass. I mean, I played on grass a couple times, but it's like almost the same
similar to turf. The only other thing I would bring up is, like, actually playing on cement. And because now that it's warm outside, and depending on what state you're in, you don't, you know, all these COVID restrictions are different everywhere. So if you're able to play outside, like, I have seen a lot of people playing in parking lots, tennis courts. Like, I recommend tennis courts because they are fenced in, but if you can get the net down, whatever. But the thing with the tennis court is it's not very forgiving. And it will slide more. So it kind of takes both bad things from the turf, where you're sliding, but instead of having good cushion, it's cement.
No cushion.
Yeah. None but sweat. On the upside is you're able to play dodgeball outside. And
true.
You're actually able to get more people there because you're outside. Yes. And that's really... That's your upside.
No, and I will say, though, like, the downside with cement is the fact that, like, the sun beams down on cement and it makes it way hotter. So, like, all that cement is just all this, you know, just taking all that heat, absorb it, and you bounce it back at you. So you're getting twice the amount of heat you normally get. So, like, if you're down on the ground in, like, the middle of the, I don't know, noon playing, it's an awful time. I've done it multiple times, played on tennis courts, that it gets hot and it's a rough time. So, especially cause, like, I think the heat actually messes up the balls depending on what type of ball you're playing with. Because, like, I've noticed, like, 8.5, they'll kind of get, like, that weird shine on the outside if you play outside for long enough. Cause either, like, the sun is, you're not the sun, but, like, the cement is, like, burning the ball. Every time you throw it, it bounces off the floor, that friction, and it adds to the ball every single time. So it does, get beat down a little bit, but it depends.
Interesting. I mean, I would not wear basketball shoes on a tennis court. I would rather.
There's no other better shoe though. That's the problem. Like, there's not much better shoes in terms of, like, lateral movement, cushioning, like, as designed for athletic movement. Like, the only thing, other ones I can kind of think of are, like, maybe cross training shoes or
cross trainer, or if you have shoes. Actual tennis shoes. If you're on that court, that's going to be the best bet. That now I don't think they make tennis shoes in, like, a high ankle.
No, they don't. And that's why I was like, I know a lot of people need that high ankle support. So I don't, it's not that I don't recommend high tennis shoes, but it's just like, if you need that high, like, support, it's not going to help you. Like, the only other shoe I would probably recommend, I mean, I know I use them, but, like, wrestling shoes, but it's only if you know how to, like, properly move without the cushioning, because wrestling shoes don't have that cushioning. But because they provide the amount of grip that you need and they have that high ankle support and they're light, I would recommend those over basketball shoes. But again, that depends on if you're able to move properly, land properly without high impact, because again, most people that jump, from what I've seen, don't know how to jump with cushion, so they just kind of thump, and it's not great. So it's bad on the joints.
While we're kind of talking about mobility and being able to like recover in crazy positions, did you follow that knees over toes guy on Instagram?
Yeah.
Did you see the video he posted of the Padres shortstop?
What's his face? Fernando Ortiz or something like that.
Is that his name?
Yes, that guy.
That's it. He posted that.
The one where he slid into the splits?
Yes.
That one? Yeah, I saw that one.
Oh my God.
That was nuts.
That was an insane play. And I am on his Instagram now and I don't see it. And I
definitely saw it, and like I thought that was so cool, and I'm just like, I could do that on a very, very good day. If I did that on a middle of a volleyball match, that's a different story. But well, like, yeah.
Did you see the first one where he's basically going like full matrix in mm-hmm. the batter's box, where he's all the way he's like almost 90 degrees with the ground, but up on his toes, and then comes right back up. Yeah. That is what like flexibility, mobility, and having strength through looks like.
Yeah, if anyone has seen this video, like Jeremy Bizzle did the same thing, but he caught a ball while doing it. And if anything,
he put his elbow down though.
Doesn't matter. Let's see the amount of.
See this?
Yeah, we can see it.
Go back to
very blurry though, but like, yeah, I know what you're talking about though.
Yeah,
we'll have to share that on our what's it called, our page, because yeah, we can see it. It's just very blurry.
This one, that's the important part.
Oh,
did it stop? Oh, damn it!
Yeah, it stopped. Up now, it's a girl lunging. Yeah,
like
that flexibility is insane. But yeah, I know Jeremy Bizzle did that same movement where you point your top over your matrix. Even if he put his elbow down, the fact that he still got up from that position while going down that fast, like it doesn't matter. Like it's still impressive. So like that's
not like, taking anything away from him, just like to get that low and then just pop back up is
It's insane. Like I could do that, but I have to like really, really warm up for that. And getting up is a whole other level. But like, I don't even know if I can get up. I can get down. Up is a different story.
Dude, I did sissy squats today, and I thought my quads were going to rip in half.
I hate sissy squats, but I love doing them at the same time. But
I had both hands on each side of the squat rack, like supporting me on the way down. And my quads just felt like they were going to just.
Yeah. Let's say I started doing, I don't know, I guess they're called sissy squats, but like, you know how the knees over toes guys kind of like, he starts standing up and then he goes down to his knees without like dropping. So like, he kind of just like lowers himself down to his knees and stands up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been working on that, and that's actually not as bad as I thought it was, but it still hurts. But I can't do it fast. So I've been trying to work on those just randomly throughout the days. And it's a fun exercise to do. It's just really hard.
Yeah. That's a lot of ankle mobility, and that's not in my wheelhouse right now. I told you I was doing like the Dr. Bubbs, five day mobility challenge thing.
Yeah, briefly. Yep.
Yeah, I touched on it a little bit, I think, and so all 5 days are out now, and I'm thinking about just posting like a link to it on both our Facebook and Instagram, just because. Mm-hmm. It'd be good for people to see like how putting just these small things into your day can really help with overall life. And I will drop the teaser that there are feelers out for him to come on the show. We should be hearing from him probably about the time this comes out.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be in Tampa working with a basketball team, I think.
Okay.
Setting up their off-season stuff. So he's usually in the UK, so he's going to be more on our time zone. So we're going to try to get him while he's in Tampa. Nice. And yeah, that way we're not waking up at 4 a.m. So that way it's like noon over there for him, like we did with Patrick.
Yeah, that was brutal. Even though I was already up that early, that was brutal. Just trying to function mentally. But yeah.
Well, going full circle, like for all of these courts, they're really body awareness, mobility, flexibility, and protecting your joints are going to help you on all of them. Knowing which, obviously you're going to know what surface you're on, but knowing how those surfaces react is going to help you tremendously. And then taking the time to warm up effectively on it, to find where your game is on it. And that's really going to be the best advice that we can give you.
Yeah, but I would say, like, if you know what you're doing, work on instability training. That'll definitely help with proprioception. That'll definitely help translate not only on, like, basketball court, but, like, on those in unstable surfaces for sure. Doing more unilateral movements will help give you more awareness into that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. Doing more
body weight exercises.
Yep. I'll say doing those will also help as well. And really just like just changing up your routine, like instead of doing just strictly weightlifting, do other things, like do other movements, play other sports. Those are always sometimes translated to dodgeball as well.
What is the, I always get these backwards, open chain and closed chain exercises.
Oh God.
I know like a push up and a bench press are like the opposites, and I never remember which one's open and which one's closed. I think a bench press is open chain, and I think a push up is closed.
I can never remember. This is the one question I always failed on in college. Hold on, closed chain versus, I know Caleb looked it up, but I need to see it.
Yeah, the floating head of Caleb that we haven't talked about yet is on it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Ah, okay, that makes sense. All right, Caleb, you got it. No, I'll let you. No, it's
your, no, go
I'll
ahead. Do it. Okay. So yeah. So like when you're bench pressed, that's open because it's furthest away from you. And when you're doing a push-up, the ground doesn't move. You're moving. Am I translating?
I think you got it backwards. Hold up. With the closed chain, I think it's... Oh, wait, hold up. Now I thought I got it backwards. Hold up. This is confusing. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think with the bench press, it is open chain. Yeah. Because the part that's moving isn't fixed. Yeah, so I think you're right, Brett. So I think the part that's moving is the part that's closed. Or no, I'm confused already. Hello. So the part that's moving that isn't stationary is the part that's open. But if you like, let's say you're like you said with the push-ups, because your hands are fixed to a certain spot, that's closed.
Yeah,
yeah, that is so good. That's why I failed every time. It was so confusing. I always got it backwards.
Yeah, we'll get back to everybody on this one.
I was not prepared to get quizzed again and bring back traumatic memories of tests I always failed.
No, but making sure you implement both into your workout routines will really help you as well.
Exactly. Okay. Just work on everything. Just listen to all our other episodes. Just do it all. Like last like 2 minutes of us trying to figure out what open and close means. Get that part. But everything else, it's solid information.
Oh, man. Do we have anything else for these people that have held out for these last couple minutes?
Oh man, I mean, no. The only thing I'm gonna say again, as always, check out Nagini brand. Hopefully, you guys have at least checked it out for the tournaments at this point. If you haven't bought them now, it's probably a little too late for the Spooky Nook tournament because I think we're releasing this one before then. But again, always check it out. See, I'm pretty sure it'll help your ball with your game. And again, it's not too late to go buy some. We're pretty sure. Let's say it helped. If anything, it helped me in my phone game turn my accuracy. So I'll take that as a win. So that, at least that works out for me. But again, check out the what's it called? The promo link. It's BallOut15. Go to their website, check it out, and support our brand, support their brand. Definitely something that we think is better for the sport, especially because, one, it's more eco-friendly. Let's say the tape is so bad for you, and it's more sanitary. So let's just make the world a better place in terms of cleanliness and eco-friendly.
Yeah, make sure you check out the new and updated website.
Yes.
There will be more added to it, but it did get a facelift. It looks better, functions better, and it's a little bit cleaner. So it will continue to receive updates as we go, and as we find, you know, little things here and there. But check it out. Let us know what you think on that. And make sure you're following us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all that stuff. That's all I got, man. I'm good if you're good.
I'm good, man.
All right. Then we out.
Peace out, guys.